Well, this is kind of a different spot for me to be in. This is my first time, so we'll make it through. I was going to thank Dorothy for this, but she didn't show up. So, yeah. So would you stand for the call to worship, please? Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice.
Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise.
Let the fields and their crops burst forth with joy. For the Lord is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and all the nations with his truth. We'll now have hymn 263.
Yes.
Immortal. Invisible. Right? We will confess who we are. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Forgive us, O God.
When we stumble in the darkness and turn away from your face, strengthen us to walk in your brightness and live in your ways. Lighten the shadows that keep us from growing in your love and light. Shower us with your grace that we might shine as your people upon this earth.
We are assured of who we are, friends. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ was born for us. Christ lived for us. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us, and Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone, new life has begun. Friends, believe the good news. In Christ we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with all that you meet, beginning with those around you.
Thank you.
Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. The Old Testament reading today is from Exodus 33:12-23. I think it's found in the Old Testament on 80. But reading this over, and I think Moses knew he was going on a trip. We're going to talk about Moses, and he thought just like we think, and he's not always ready for this trip, so he's kind of asking God, tell me what I'm doing here. And so we'll start out. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, if I and your people, it is not in your going with us, so that we are distracted, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this is the very thing that you have spoken. I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please, show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for the man shall not see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on a rock. And while my glory passes, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. We have children?
No.
No children at the moment? Okay.
Thank you.
The men sounded particularly good today. It's amazing what three voices can do to change the timbre and the tone and the depth of a particular statement and song. Thank you to all three of you. Today's second reading comes to us from Matthew chapter 22. I think you all pretty well know this story. It's the one about the coin, remember? But to help you hear it in a new way, I am going to read to you from the Common English Bible. So maybe it's a good time to put the pew Bibles down and just listen. Listen now for God's word to God's people. Then the Pharisees met together to find a way to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to him. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are genuine and that you teach God's way as it really is. We know that you are not swayed by people's opinions because you don't show favoritism. So tell us what you think. Does the law allow people to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Knowing their evil motives, Jesus replied, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used to pay the tax." And they brought him a denarii, whose image and inscription is this?" he asked. "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were astonished, and they departed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will it ever end, this ongoing questioning of Jesus by the Pharisees? And now with the Herodians, those men who support Herod Antipas. It's been going on now for several weeks in our lessons. These Pharisees are, after all, masters of the details of Levitical law, the law of the Jews. And in addition to the entire Torah, they have memorized every jot and tittle of the 643 priest-written laws. 643. So they've used that knowledge to come up with a foolproof strategy that will condemn Jesus as either a Roman collaborator or a Hebrew revolutionary. Either way is fine with them, just as long as they're rid of him. He's not strict enough with their legal teachings and is disrupting their control over the people. This time, the question they use to unravel Jesus' teachings is simple. And all they need is a simple coin of the realm. Coins, money, can tell us a great deal about who we are as individuals and as a people. Here in the United States, our coins display the country's motto on one side, "In God we trust." Of course, anymore, we need to be mindful of which God we're putting our trust in. While the founders meant the God you and I know, there are many other gods being worshipped in this country nowadays. Still, the words are imprinted on each coin. I guess you have to decide which God you're praying to. The flip side of our pennies, our dimes, and our quarters often bear the word liberty. Now, the word could proclaim our freedom to reach our highest dreams, or perhaps It's to remind us that we enjoy freedom of religious choice. How we view those phrases indicates much about our character. For instance, when you combine the words on both sides of the coin, it might describe the attitude of someone who considers the wealth they have accumulated through their freedom to be evidence for the favor of the God in which they have trusted. Kind of makes you stop and think, doesn't it? The meaning of the coin presented to Jesus in this story was far less ambiguous than our coins can be. The picture of the current Roman emperor appeared on every coin, and the words read, "Tiberius Caesar, August and divine son of Augustus the high priest." Proclaiming Tiberius a god was a forceful political statement. You see, the hated temple taxes had to be paid with that coin. The Jews were always being reminded that they were still oppressed by the Romans. That the thing was even in the temple broke one of those 643 laws. And I suspect that it was one of the Herodians, Herod's followers, who was carrying it around. After all, the Pharisees would have known better. But of course, their questions isn't an honest one. They're trying to incite conflict between Jesus and anyone else. Discredit him, and either the people or the powers will silence him. So what is Jesus to do? If he answers the question that it's lawful to pay the tax, then he's standing against the Romans, against his own people. And that would be quite risky, as he'd lose the popular support and be much more vulnerable to the Jewish powers that be. The questioners thought the only other answer he could give was to remind them that carrying such a coin was illegal. And that answer, of course, would follow Jewish law. Make him popular, but not so popular with the Romans. It's a catch-22, isn't it? These Pharisees, along with those followers of Herod, whom they usually could not stand, one party or the other, really believed they had backed Jesus into a steel trap. Yet, instead of giving the obvious answer, Jesus offers an unexpected response. "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." He doesn't say which is the right choice. His words are neither a condemnation of Roman taxes nor a capitulation to Caesar's authorities. They simply remind everyone that the coins produced by those authorities have no value in the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, his words imply that everyone needs to decide how to answer this question. But he's also reminding those around him that in discerning what belongs to whom we need to remember, what belongs to whom, let's say it straight. In discerning what belongs to whom, we need to remember what it is that bears God's image and what it means to bear God's image. Caesar can put his likeness on statues, on walls, on tile floors, and on coins, but not on human beings. Only God can place God's image on people, every one of us. Yet, we all so often allow the world around us, the material world as represented by Caesar,
to control our values. And surrounded by so many things, God rarely enters our minds. Jesus could well have been thinking about that reality when he responded to the question. His answer may have been actually recognizing how that coin could impact people's lives. He could have been thinking how most of us want to own what the coin will buy. In that way, the coin would say a lot about a person's values. Money. Money does buy a lot of stuff. And all too often, people decide to buy stuff not just to survive, but so that we can look good to our neighbors and friends. Yeah, coins can tell us a great deal about who we are. So think about it. People might want to, say, buy a cruise around Africa. Others may want to buy fancy new cars. Still others might want to buy expensive high-efficiency washing machines. We want to buy the next big thing, no matter what it is. Such items are often our version of ancient Israel's golden calf. They are our idols. And we believe that, like the calf, such things will bring us security, power, happiness. So what was Jesus thinking? Biblical scholar Lance Pape writes this. He says, "It's easy to picture Jesus flipping that coin in his hand a few times and then tossing it casually aside. In my imagination, I see his eyes rising to meet those of his opponents, confronting each of them with an unspoken question in the air. And you, my friend, whose image do you bear?" Coins. How we do or do not use them can tell us a great deal about a person. So whose image do we bear? And with whom do we align ourselves really? I want you to take a moment and look around this room. Look around the room. In the light that brightens this sanctuary, what do you see? Whose mark do you see on one another's faces? And whose mark do you see on the faces of, say, the grocery store clerk? Or the guy who collects the trash each week? Or the woman who stops by the Fellowship of Christ community one Sunday for the free supper because her food stamps have run out and she doesn't have much left to eat in her cupboard? Or the man who says he's given up drugs and really wants to work but cannot find a job? Whose mark do you see on them? All of us are marked by one Creator, one God, one Lord of life. We're all made in God's image. And it's up to us to live with the honor and dignity and compassion, joy and hope that our God wants for us. It's fine to pay taxes to the government or serve time in the military. It's okay to put money into your retirement fund or buy a car that uses less gas or a washer that washes with less water. In fact, those things, within reason, actually can be investments of a good steward who's caring for the earth that God has created. And as anyone who has lived in Las Vegas knows, water is a limited resource that must be cared for if life is to continue. And some of what the government is charged to do does improve the quality of life there in the desert and around the globe. But really, the deeper implication of Jesus' response is each and every person belongs to God and God alone. Everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is God's. As God's handmade children, as God's stewards, we are called to respond with unswerving loyalty to God. And as the church, we are together called to be the hands and feet of Christ, to care for God's world and all of its peoples. Yeah, it's okay to buy some creature comforts. But if all that we have and all that we are belong to God, shouldn't we give deeply of our hearts, our minds, and our bodies back to God? Shouldn't we reach into our pockets to give our coins to the church so that Christ's work can continue on this earth? Coins can tell us a great deal about who we are as individuals and as a people. It seems as if the questions to Jesus from the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the crowds were never ending. Likewise, his work to teach them and us how to serve God really is never ending, nor will our work as God's stewards ever cease. So in this time of harvest, when we consider the blessings God has given us, let us ask ourselves, with whom do we align ourselves? Caesar? God? And let us remember who and whose we are and whose image we bear. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but to God what is God's. Amen.
The next hymn is actually hymn number 420, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Do you have five
verses? What's the number again, please?
420.
No, you have five verses. How many verses are you playing?
I have four.
Okay, so we're only doing four verses. Please stand.
Church is sorry.
Let us do our affirmation of faith that's printed in the bulletin. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and the renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspires the prophets and the apostles rules our faith and life in Christ. Through Scripture, engage us through the word proclaimed, claim us in the waters of baptism, feed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the Church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all people to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch our God's new heaven, new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus."
Let us share together in a time of prayer. O God of autumn blessings, though the leaves change colors and swirl down to the ground, you remain steadfast and firm in your love for your creation. We are grateful for all the changes we experience in this time, for through them we see that you are forever releasing old ways so that you might bring forth newness and hope for the future. We are grateful for the brisk air that surrounds us and the warmth of sweaters and bonfires, which allow us to remain outdoors to enjoy the beauty with which you have surrounded us. We are grateful, too, for the gift of families and friends who share these days with us. O Lord, hear us now as we lift to you the concerns of our heart this day. We pray for the church here and abroad. Help us to be a beacon of hope to people around us, especially those who are in distress of any kind. You call us to be your children and have taught us all which we need to fulfill the mission you give us. Though we know we need not do anything to receive your forgiveness, we want to respond to your gifts by serving as you call us with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. O Lord, we pray for the peoples of the world, for regardless of their country, they are creations of your hand who bear your image. Provide for their needs, O Lord, and enable us to help them whenever possible. We also ask that you encourage their leaders to discern the true needs of their peoples and guide them towards life ways that allow neighbors to walk together in peace. We especially pray this for those living in active war zones, as well as for us in this country as we live rudderless from the Congress at this point in time. Help those who are arguing to find a way to come to common ground to serve your people for your good and glory. We pray for the earth and all life on it. Help us to discover ways to be good stewards of all of its riches so that our children's children can have good and healthy lives upon it. We bring to you those who are burdened with guilt or fear or pain, and ask that you shower upon them your compassionate grace so that they may again see hope in their lives. We lift to your mercy and care those whose bodies, minds, or spirits have been weakened or crushed. We especially pray for those of this congregation and within our circles of friendship who are in great need of you now. You alone know what is best for them, so we ask that you provide for them in ways that will enrich their lives. Oh God, we ask that you receive all of these who are needing care and fill us with your light so that we may indeed become people that can show others the way to your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son, the one who lived and died for us, who rose for us, and lives with you for us, and who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Stand and join me in singing hymn number 540. God be with you till we meet again. So today is a good day to give back to God what is God's. Of course, all days are good days to do that. But I invite you to take some time and go over and share from your wealth to Super Bowl Sunday so that others might be fed.
And I also ask you to remember that all that you have and all that you are actually belong to God. You are God's handmade child. And you are invited to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. May God be with you till we meet again. In the meanwhile, go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.